program today. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. In 5 minutes, Nigel Seeley is going to join the program. He's going to tell a remarkable story from back in the 90s over in, the UK. The hole-in-one gang is what they were called. And I'm not going to give you too many of the details right now because I don't want to screw anything up. But it's an incredible story of how guys were taking advantage of tremendous betting opportunities in golf. So that's coming up in about 5 minutes. Some of the updated numbers that we have right now in Major League Baseball. People love betting this stuff. We love talking about it. We love betting it. Run in the first inning in the American League. Yankees Blue Jays played last night. Got one across, but Yankees now 8-2 to the no. The Rays are 7-3 to the no. That cash last night, Glasnow was superb. So was Dunning, by the way. He was very good. That's something to watch for the Rangers. The Orioles in the AL East, 7-2 to the no. In the Central, White Sox are 7-3 to the no. Tigers, 6-4 to the yes. And in the West, you have the Mariners, 8-1 no. And then every other team is pretty much hovering around 500. The run in the first inning, National League. Yes, Braves, 7-3. Cardinals, yes, 6-4. Cubs, yes, 6-4. Pirates, yes, 9-1.
How crazy is that?
It's one of your big boys right there.
Isn't that something? The yes is 9-1.
In their games. In the National League West, the no for the Giants, 9-1. Yep. And then again, every other team pretty much around 500. You have first five with the betting. Some of the teams that stick out here. The White Sox are 7-1-2 in the first five. The Rays are 5-1-4. How about that? Four pushes already in 10 games. The Blue Jays are only 3-7 in the first five. In the American League West, Astros 6-2-2, and the Mariners are 2-6-1. National League, Washington 0-3-4. The Cardinals are only 1-7-2 in the first five. Reds are 7-2-1, and the Dodgers are 6-2-2.
Yeah, not much there.
Yeah. Diamondbacks 3-7-1.
Need some teams to take off.
I just think, yeah, the angle with Mad Bum is just so delicious at this point.
Right. And the two New York teams have yet to score in the first inning, which is bonkos. But I love this instant gratification with the Pirates, with the Mariners, with the Giants, and just the Giants under, period. First five and for the game.
This is a good email from Chris. Wow. And we're doing this throughout the show today. Keep them coming. FTM@vsin.com is the email. Gambling stories from previous years. He says, guys, I had a friend who worked for a certain four-letter company. He ran the poll every year for the ESPYs, so he knew the results.
Oh!
Our offshore book put numbers up every year on the winners. We called it our summer tax return. It lasted 2 years before they stopped taking bets.
Oh!
Yeah, maybe we should have thrown in a few losses.
You got to do that.
You have. It's
you
got to
bet a loser on purpose.
Yep.
That is great.
Yep.
That
yep.
is great.
I cannot wait to hear the details of this hole-in-one gang from back in the 90s. Nigel Seeley's a great storyteller. He's tremendous at what he does. And he will tell us the story of the hole-in-one gang coming up next here on Follow the Money.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The RBC Heritage at Harbortown Golf Links, Hilton Head, South Carolina this week. Dustin Johnson, the 10-1 favorite. Webb Simpson, 12-1. Patrick Cantlay, 16-1. Colin Morikawa, 20-1. In the NHL, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning playing for their third straight win, laying $1.82 at Nashville, plus 165. 5.5 flat at the Bridgestone Arena. In the NBA, the Clippers, a 1.5 road favorite at Indiana. The Clippers have won 5 straight in 8 of their last 10 games. Baseball today, Kyle Hendricks on the mound for the Cubs. They're catching $1.28 at Miller Park in Milwaukee against the Brewers. Our sports betting experts are analyzing baseball, hoops, hockey, soccer, tennis, and horse racing every day. Plus, our NFL experts are getting ready for the 2021 NFL Draft. Get all our in-depth insights and Point Spread Weekly, our best bets daily email, and 24/7 video coverage, vsin.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sinek.
Get the latest VSIN odds at vsin.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
Oh.
It's time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard.
An exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports. Instant payouts, only one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown book. Valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play SugarHouse.com in Jersey. Must be 21.
It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. And one of our favorite lads that we ever bring on the show, Nigel Seeley, now joins the program. Betting journalist, soccer expert, yada, 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 yada. You know the deal at this point. Good morning, mate. How are you today?
I'm very well. The pubs are open. I'm so happy. It's like Christmas morning.
I saw a lot of that yesterday over there. By the way, so how you were like in a scarf? You were in like a winter jacket? How cold is it right now?
Well, yesterday morning I looked out the window. It was the first day in England that the pubs were allowed open, and there was probably about 2 inches of snow. And I thought, but we're only allowed in the pub garden. We're not allowed in the pub. So the first thing I thought, if there is a God, it's definitely a woman. Because that's why she's let us. We're allowed back in the pub, and the snow's coming down. We're all sitting in the garden freezing. We weren't allowed. They're not allowed indoors yet. Not for another 6 weeks.
Did your wife like the magazine rack?
She loves it. She thinks it's absolutely most thoughtful present she's ever had. Mm. She's very nice. I'll show you the bruises where she hit it over the back of my head.
Great tweet. There you go. Wife's birthday tomorrow. Leaving jewelry and beauty magazines all over the house to drop hints. So I bought her a magazine rack. Yeah. Very good. We've been talking about you all morning, or for much of the morning.
So, Nigel, I will ask you on the air pretty much the exact tweet that I sent over to you over the weekend. So we got an email. We got a tip from a Swedish listener named Rafa. And he asked us, has Nigel ever talked to you guys about the hole-in-one gang who pulled off an amazing coup in the UK? It occurred probably back during your time with the Racing Post back in the 90s. He said, it's a fantastic story. I said, no, he hasn't. So let me reach out to Nigel. You told me it on a tweet. It's so good. You got to share it on the air. So go ahead, lad. The floor is yours.
Yeah, sure. The first thing you got to remember, I started work in betting in 1990. I was just straight out of school when I was 18 years of age, working for the Racing Post newspaper, which was a new newspaper. There were two betting newspapers in the country, the Racing Post and the Sporting Life. And then we didn't really bet on sports betting then. It was only horse racing and greyhounds in this country. That was how bad it was, you know, only going back 30 years ago. But sports betting was really in its infancy. And nobody really understood the odds. Nobody had any idea of what an odds a price should be on a golf tournament or a tennis tournament. And there was so much value to be had. But I was 18, and I wasn't. If I was 25, 26, I would have realized what the value was and been a much richer man than I am now. But there was a lot of people who were following sport and saw there was some errors being made by the bookmakers. And one of them was these two guys. They both worked in the betting industry. I can't remember their names now, but so they were in their 30s, and they followed golf. And they realized that there was a lot more hole-in-ones on golf tournaments than what the bookmakers realized, because there was no Sky television, there was no 24-hour sports streaming in those days. The coverage of a golf tournament was 2 hours on the final round in this country. It was really limited. And there was nothing in the papers, unless it was Seve Ballesteros, Nick Faldo, Greg Norman getting the hole-in-one. Nobody knew that the world number 87 got a hole-in-one. So they knew there was a problem. So they tried it out, and they worked out mathematically that the price of a hole-in-one was probably even money. But it used to come through on a fax. When I was at the Racing Post, the fax machine used to come through, and it had all the scores, so the four-round scores on an old bit of fax paper. And at the bottom of the paper, it would say hole-in-one, and there'd be four people in that tournament that had a hole-in-one. It was never any publicity about it. So these two guys realized there was some potential. But what they did is they looked at bookmakers in this country, not the big chains, because they knew that they would probably have more of an idea of what price a hole-in-one would be. So they went to the lower level bookmakers. There was 2,000 independent bookmakers in this country at the time. So like he's a guy and his son who run a shop in a small village. And the Yellow Pages was a big book that had all bookmakers' addresses, and they pulled all the pages out of the bookmakers' addresses and drove all the way up around the country, going to these independent bookmakers and just saying, what price would you give us for a hole-in-one? Because it wasn't on the telly, they were being quoted 10 to 1, 12 to 1, 14 to 1, 16 to 1, up to sometimes 25 to 1, 50 to 1 in some cases, when the true odds were even money. And what they did is they worked out that the highest stake that these bookmakers would pay out would be £25,000. That was the maximum. But they knew they couldn't go under the they had to go under the radar. Now, infrastructure, you can call up one bookmaker telling them. In those days, it wouldn't happen. And they were just randomly going around having £20, £30, £40 on holes in ones in these events. And they would probably place 30 or 40 wagers up and down the country at massive, massive odds. Well, they come in, then they did doubles, trebles, American tour events, European tour events, and then they specifically worked out on the par threes. So they were getting something like 20-1, or 10-1 for a hole-in-one. They would say what price would be the hole-in-one on the seventh or something like that, and they were being quoted 40-1, where there was no mathematics or logic. Well, the two of them single-handedly took millions off the bookmakers. They probably single-handedly shut down maybe 30 branches of independent bookmaker. And there was a book about them. And I spent the pleasure with them one afternoon at Wentworth at the PGA Tour Championship. And they were just sitting in a cocktail. This is towards the end of when they had done so well. And it was harder. You know, the odds, instead of 5-1 or 10-1 to get a hold of one, they were being quoted plus 250, when really it should be 175, but they were still betting it. And they were just sitting in this bar, drinking champagne and just waiting for the hole in one to come. But they were at the venue. They were there for 4 days. They used to go and watch golf. But that's what they did. They found this glitch and played huge odds on a market that not anybody had any idea how to price up, because there was no media coverage of it, and they made millions and millions of pounds on it.
Wow. So then the independent books would obviously, they would pay out, and then he would go out of business.
Yeah, well, a lot of them couldn't pay out, and they had to go to tribunals, and they probably would have made probably five times more the amount than they actually did if they got the full pays out, because a lot of these bookmakers didn't have the money. But now in the UK, there is hardly any independent bookmakers anymore. They're all big chains, all the big chains that bought them up. So that, but in the 1990s, your local high street, you would have a big William Hills or a Ladbrokes, but then you would have like Jennings and Son or Bob and Colin at the end of the road, very much like that. And they didn't have the pricing capability. You know, they were just local lads who would take the bets off the old fellas who walked in every week on the horses. Then $1, $5 bets. But when these guys come in, they were saying, "What price a hole in one?" Oh, with what price? And they asked his son, "What price a hole in one?" 10-1, Dad. Yeah, 10-1. Go on, we'll give you £100 at 10-1. And then they lost 1,000. And then when they laid the cross doubles and various big parlays, that's when the lot of them all went out of business.
Very good. Very good. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Vesen. Nigel Seeley, our guest at Seeley_Nigel. Let's go rapid fire, okay? We got a lot to get to now.
Just one thing. If you're interested in that story, they have a book. They have a book about it. If you Google the Hole in One Gang, you can probably buy it on Amazon. But it's about how they did it and how they sort of planned the areas to attack. It was like a military exercise and which ones to do and what the different odds and prices they have. Very interesting.
Love that. Love that. Bayern Munich and PSG. Munich lost 3-2 in the first leg. They are PSG's 280 to advance here at Circa. And Chelsea and Porto. Porto won the first leg 2-0. Went under, obviously, in a 2.5 again in the second match. Anything in the two matches today?
I really like Bayern Munich. I mean, I bet them in the last leg, and I still can't believe we didn't cash. 31 shots they had in that game. 31 shots. PSG had 4 shots and scored them 3 goals. Bayern Munich, I think 17 corners to 1. I think something stupid like that.
Oh,
huge amount of possession. It was just the game that just you'll never see a game like it again. You know, they have an expected goals ratio with the goal XG, which is like a statistical basis on how many goals a team should score. And they had Bayern Munich should have scored 5 goals of the chance they created in that game. It won't happen again. They are, in my opinion, the best team in European football. They're without Lewandowski. I think if they had Lewandowski, their top goal scorer, they would be holding a 2-goal advantage rather than a deficit. But I think Paris Saint-Germain are a side you can never trust. When they're underdogs, they perform well. But when they're the favourites, I think that I don't like trusting the French at the best of times, but in this game here, I would probably go with Bayern Munich to win this. But I think the Paris Saint-Germain over the years have folded under the pressure, and they will be under huge pressure from a Bayern Munich. And if Bayern Munich can replicate 60% of the chances that they created in the first leg, they will cover. And I think Bayern Munich could progress here. I think if you're going to bet Bayern Munich to progress now, to win this game, I think Bayern Munich will win the game. But I think now could be the time to bet Bayern Munich to win the Champions League. Because obviously you're going to get, what price are they now to win the Champions League? 7-1
I got
to win
here.
The Champions League.
Yeah.
Well, 8's a big money. If they win tonight and score by two goals or more, which they're more than capable of, they're right. favourites for the Champions League. I think they'd be favourites against Man City over two legs.
Okay. And tomorrow, City won the first leg 2-1. They are, well, they're huge. They're $6 to advance, but they're $1.55. And then Liverpool lost 3-1 to Real Madrid. And you can find 2.5. Do you like the over?
Yeah, just the other game tonight, I think by Porto v Chelsea, under 2.5 goals, no real thing there. Tomorrow, I think Man City will win. I think it'll be a very similar kind of game as what we saw. I think both teams will score, but I'm saying Man City will probably win 2-1 or 3-1, but no real sort of conviction on that one. But Liverpool v Real Madrid, I just think that game is absolutely set up for goals. I just can't see anything other than an end-to-end game. Liverpool have to win by 2 or more goals. Offensively, Liverpool's front three on any given day can score 2 goals against anybody. But defensively, this centre half partnership that Liverpool have without Van Dijk is about as much good as a chocolate fire guard. And we're up against Real Madrid. If they're pushing for goals, if Real Madrid are pushing and pushing and pushing for goals, then it's going to leave themselves open. And you know, Real Madrid with their attacking flair can score. So I definitely think both teams will score in the Liverpool game. And I definitely think over 2.5 goals. It has been bet. It was -162 yesterday. I think it's probably near a -2 now. But maybe go up to 3.5 on that game, the Liverpool game. I think it's definitely got goals in it.
We have League One, League Two, and a championship. You like anything in the lower leagues?
I quite like a couple of them, but I give you the best bet for me in League One is Blackpool to win at home against Accrington. Blackpool were -125. I think that line has probably gone. They're in desperate for the point to stay in the playoffs. They're the informed team in the country, and Accrington have got absolutely nothing to play for. They played at the weekend at home against one of the bottom teams, and they lost 5-1. Wimbledon beat them 5-1, and Wimbledon's towards the bottom of the table. And their performance, by all accounts, I know a few people who were at the game, and they were really poor, and they look aside focusing on next year. And what they've also got beat 7-0 by Peterborough in a road game. So they've conceded 12 goals, Accrington, in two of their last four matches, and they're playing a Blackpool side who are scoring goals for fun and in desperate need for the points to stay in the playoffs.
Good breakdown. All right, my friend. Well done. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Have a good week. Take care, lads.
You too. Well done. Covered
Thanks,
a
mate.
Lot. Nigel Seeley, the GOAT, at Seeley_Nigel on Twitter. A lot of picks there and good action today. And that was a funky result, what happened with Bayern, and 8-1 here at Circa, but they'd have to win by 2 goals today. And when in doubt, Chelsea under, right? Under 2.5.
I would say so, yes.
Shut it down. Will Porto score? I don't even know if that's going to happen. I doubt it. And then City gives up one. I think it was 1-0. Dortmund scored in the 84th minute, and City answered in the 90th minute to win that one 2-1. Real Madrid 370 to advance. Take back on Liverpool 3-1. PSG 280. Chelsea's 1,800. My God. And then to win the Champions League, City +185. PSG +385, Real Madrid 635, Chelsea 4-1.
And he said Bayern Munich +750 or 8-1 range.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's a tough task.
Sure, it is.
I mean, not only do they have to win, it's got to be by 2 goals to advance. And I would love to see Bayern Munich against City. That'd be dynamite. But I think Liverpool's cooked. I would lay the 370 tomorrow. I don't think they can't. They're not capable of doing that. Scoring wise, they can't score.
Oh, so you disagree with his assessment of the game going over the total?
It's 3 here, and there are 2.5s at other places. But I think if it goes over, it's because of Real Madrid. I don't think I would take the plus price to win the match too. They beat them 3-1 in the first leg.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool's in horrible form, and it's been that way for a while.
Did he say a number on Blackpool? So I'm having a tough time finding a current number right now in League One on Blackpool.
I'll get it.
So we'll search for that today as well. I'm going to get down, by the way. It does. I mean, the Bayern Munich thing makes sense. And if you can find 7.5 or 8-1 to win it outright, If they win this game in advance, he said they're going to be the favorites.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Thanks, Matt. Minus 143 with Blackpool today on the game. I'm guessing that number has gone up, too.
Okay.
Yeah, that number has probably moved a little bit since he bet it. All right. And next time he's on, he's going to have to tell the story of, again, 18 years old, working at the Racing Post. He would make from what I understand, he would, make the kickoff times for, local papers to put him in. And he's like, they're all over different time zones. I don't know. I'm just guessing. And then these games would start, and they'd be at either halftime or they'd be over with, and books would still have him on the board because the timeout or the kickoff times were screwed up. And he was off by who knows how many hours overall. That's crazy.
I got to read that book.
Oh, for sure. I was jotting that down. Yep.
Yeah, I need to read that book.
Yep. FTM@vsin.com is the email. FTM@vsin.com. Up next, we will get to today's hockey card. A decent slate is the Shine coming off just a tad. That's coming up next.
Circa Resort and Casino, OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Thanks to Alexander and your support. Real-time bet tracking, live in-game odds and stats, in-game tracking tools. Compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses. Visit OddsTrader.com. I know he went fast, but again, rapid fire. Nigel likes Chelsea under. Bayern Munich today. Tomorrow, Liverpool match over. And today, Blackpool with what he gave out. Mm-hmm. So let's rock and roll.
Any shine off your boy Campbell?
No. Gave up 3 goals. Finally lost. Okay, it happens. He wasn't going to win every game. I thought they'd win. I wouldn't play him tonight. Got the back-to-back against Calgary. They're 2-10 at DraftKings. Campbell's the man.
You know who's going to be good on this? Dennis Bernstein's going to join us in about 20 minutes.
Yep.
He is going to be very good, I believe, on Jack Campbell. And I wonder where he's at today after the deadline with the ceiling of the Maple Leafs this year. Does he think this could be the year for Toronto? Does he truly believe that?
I'm going to say no. But I want to hear what he says on Campbell because he's an L.A. guy and he covered the Kings.
Correct,
so that'll be good. Tampa is 6-1 against Nashville this year. Well, they're making you pay. Now the door is wide open for them to win the division with Carolina stubbing their toe back-to-back games against Detroit. But $1.80 against Nashville. Nashville is hot, playing great hockey. But again, Tampa has dominated so far, winning 6 of 7. Boston opens 3:30 tonight against Buffalo, laying 5 and a total of 5.5. Now they get Hall, the big acquisition, and this is a big moment here for the Bruins with a couple games in hand, because with this playoff push now, they got the Rangers breathing down their neck, because the Rangers and Devils start with the first of 4 in a row, and they're 4 points behind Boston for that final playoff spot. And the Rangers are $1.60 in New Jersey. New Jersey's lost 6 of 7, and they played 5 straight overs. And it's a big one for the Capitals. This will determine how they do here against the Flyers if they win the division or not. They were $1.50 at home. They were great the other night against Boston, blowing them out on the road. Total of 6, and you're down. I mean, I don't blame you, but you're down on the Flyers, who've given a couple away against Buffalo. Hung in there against the Islanders, but then lost a few to Buffalo as well.
I'm not a fan of this Flyers team at all.
No,
you're correct.
Yep.
And I have a point total bet on them. That's an absolute loser. So that's part of the reason why. Would you think about Capitals and regulation in this game tonight?
I want to see who...
Or a little bit too frisky here for the Flyers, and they can actually hang around, make it interesting before they lose in overtime.
I'd like to see who the goalies are as well. Chris Otto does a great job. Let's update some streaks. Current streaks, goal in the first 10, yes. 5 in a row for Pittsburgh and New Jersey. 4 in a row for Boston. First period overs. 5 in a row Flyers, Devils, Bruins, Sabres. World's Cup, head-to-head there with the Boston game. First period unders, 5 in a row for Edmonton. Third period overs, 10 in a row for Ottawa. Got there again last night. 6 in a row for Pittsburgh, 5 in a row for the Devils. There's your update there as well. And again, goal in the first 10 is 11-1 last 12 for the Knights. But they're off tonight, and that got there.
What do you find interesting in terms of the divisions at this point? You want to write Carolina off now?
No.
Losses to the Red Wings back-to-back games?
No, I'm not going
to
write them off. They're right there, but the door is certainly open for Tampa. I think Florida's up against it. It's going to be difficult for Florida. And then the East is just going to be wild. I mean, they're right there. Washington's tied with the Islanders, and the Penguins are 2 points back. So that's going to be a great race in the East when it comes down to it. But the Islanders have the edge there head-to-head. But they still have, I think it's 3 meetings left against Washington. And you see the Bruins at the same price as the Penguins based on game in hand and some of the cupcakes that they play in their division.
Easiest schedules remaining.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Boston, second easiest.
No.
Pittsburgh, the easiest.
Aye.
Boston, again, still with all those games, at least six games coming up with Buffalo. And Pittsburgh, they have 4 with the Sabres and 2 with the Devils, the way it looks. They play each other a couple of times.
Yeah, and Washington's done against New Jersey. They went 9-0 against them. They're finished.
Now, Boston gets the Islanders 3 more times, and they have the Capitals twice. And you can also take a guess who has the toughest schedule remaining. What a year for Buffalo, huh? Islanders twice, Pittsburgh a bunch of times, Bruins a ton. They still have to play the Capitals one more time. Oh, God.
Toronto is 6-2 against Calgary this year. But 2-10 is too much.
Okay.
That's too much tonight.
Vegas, 4th easiest schedule. Avalanche, 5th easiest schedule.
What was it?
Vegas is number 4.
I know.
Colorado's number 5.
Oh, 5, okay.
They play each other 2 more times.
All Colorado needs is a split there.
Yep. Colorado has the Kings 4 more times, too. So, good for them. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We will get into some NFL win totals coming up next. At first, I thought 8.5 was too low for this team. Then I looked at their schedule. I changed my mind.
Are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now. Sign up using promo code VSIN2K. Get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and fast rewards at your fingertips. Download the app now. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Can't beat that. Up to $2,000 and 2 risk-free bets. Draft right around the corner. Can't wait.
2 weeks from Thursday.
Let's go.
This is going to be a lot of fun. I thought this video was exceptional.
He crushed it.
So Daniel Avari is a host here on VSiN.
Great drinking game, and have it ready when the draft happens.
The draft bingo card, right?
Yeah.
She's very talented. She has she does these videos a couple times a week, I think probably at least. Very, very good. I would submit this, and I'm a fan. I think this is the best video she's ever done.
Really?
And I've watched a lot of them.
Okay.
She's very good. Went to UCLA. She's got a lot of small things down that are key to this video. So this is her, check this out. This is her draft bingo card, right? With, keywords that you're going to hear from the analysts on draft night.
Generational talent. That extra gear. Big locker room guy.
Sure, yeah, I can see that.
He just has those intangibles.
What are those?
Incredible pocket presence. He's deceptively athletic. He's quicker than he is fast. He's a football player.
Aren't they all?
He is a grinder. When it comes down to it, he's got it all. The raw talent, the football IQ, and the measurables.
Yes! All right, bingo!
It's very good.
Yeah.
Like the eyes.
You will hear that Thursday and Friday.
Oh, 1,000%.
He's a football player.
I like that when she's looking grinder. She's like okay, I guess whatever. Yeah. We'll cross that one off. You know, wind totals are up as well.
Heady, yeah, you know,
Heady's a good one. The high motor will be a big one as well.
What was it? Deceptively fast. What was that one? Well, you know what they're talking about.
Deceptively athletic, maybe.
Oh, that one.
Then you would know.
Deceptively athletic.
Adam Thielen, maybe. Ring a bell?
Sure. Yeah. 4.440 What? No, yeah.
that can't be possible.
No, can't be.
So I was looking at your team, Paul. I was looking at the Vikings, and I just saw the numbers, and I was like 8.5 It was a 17-game schedule. Like, I know they came back to the pack last year, weren't very good, but 8.5 they correct some things. You know, Zimmer's still a pretty decent coach. Not all schedules are created equal. I got news for you.
Yeah.
Because outside their division, here are their home games.
Well, hold on. The NFC North plays the NFC West and the AFC North. So
okay.
That's going to be difficult.
Okay.
Yep.
Vikings in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Home games, Steelers, Browns, Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys.
Yeah, amen.
Okay. And then on the road, they play the Bengals. All right. The Ravens, Niners, Cardinals, Panthers, and Chargers.
Yes.
You are on the road.
Right off the bat, that's the best division in football. You are drawing the NFC West. The worst team is likely Arizona.
And they and the teams they get at home. Yeah, I mean, it's they get the Rams and Seattle at home.
God.
The Cowboys at home.
Uh-huh.
And look at that. The highest win total in that division is Green Bay, 10.5 The Vikings are 8.5 Like, it's not even close.
Look at the Lions, 5
I look at the Packers, by the way, are -250 to win the division already.
Really?
But they've won 13 games back-to-back years. You add another game on, and their win total is 10.5
Yeah, I could see that.
They have a tough schedule, though, too. I mean,
well, Andy Dalton, come on. What's not to like?
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. How about the Rams and 49ers with the same win total?
Surprised by that, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
I feel about Stafford.
No, I know. Seahawks are 9.5 I believe, as well, in that division. What do you want to do with the Buccaneers and Tommy Terrific? Their total is 11.5 overs minus a quarter. Their home games are outside the division, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Chicago, Dallas, Miami, and the Giants. They can navigate that with, you know, it's April. I get it. But on the road, they play Indy, the Rams, New England, the Jets, Philadelphia, and Washington.
They play the NFC East and the AFC East. Now, a couple of things. You could say maybe Super Bowl hangover or Arians and Brady won't allow it to happen, and it's rare that and historic that they win the Super Bowl and everyone comes back. But in that division, I think it's too high. Yeah, you 12-4 Yeah.
No, 12-5
Excuse me. Thank
17
you.
Games.
Good point. Thank you.
I think they can win 12 games. Early here, gut reaction. I'll give you one that I like quite a bit. But as of right now, just based on the schedule, Buffalo's home games this year outside the division. Listen to this.
Okay. AFC East plays the NFC South and the AFC South.
There you go. So their home games are Atlanta, Carolina, Houston, Indy, Pittsburgh, and Washington. On the road, it gets, you know, a little bit more difficult, but they play Jacksonville, the Chiefs, the Saints, the Buccaneers, and Tennessee.
What's the real Josh Allen?
Yeah.
I think it was the guy we saw last year. Finally got weapons.
Will the real Josh Allen please step up?
I think it was the guy we saw. I don't think he'll regress. I think he's the real deal.
Bringing back the coaching staff.
Right. I don't know what we're going to get out of the Patriots. They'll be better, but still, if they can't be serious with Cam Newton as a starting quarterback. If that's the case, what, you know, Buffalo's going to win the division again, and we know how we feel about Tua.
Sure. Gut reaction to the Jets at 6.5
Yeah, that's too high.
That's what I thought.
I'm a big Zach Wilson fan, but that's going to take time. And that's the what's – there are people who think Darnold's better than Wilson right now. And they might be right. So that's – I think that's aggressive that they're going to win 7 games
They do get the benefit of a last-place schedule. They get Cincy and Jacksonville at home. Saints, Eagles, Buccaneers, and Titans at home. On the road, they play Atlanta, Carolina, Denver, Houston, and Indy. So it's not impossible, but 6.5 for that team, high number. Lowest number, I believe, on the board is Texans, 4.5
I know. What do we do there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor time? Is that what it's for most of the season,
Even last year, with how good Deshaun Watson is, what they finished, 4-12
Yeah, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's going to win 7 games
How about that? Another number.
Come on. They're going to go from 1 win to 7
I can't imagine. Urban Meyer's first year ever as an NFL coach.
And it's all over but the crying. There's like a hype video or something they have. The Texans took Watson off of it.
I saw
so
that,
that
yeah.
It's over.
I know JVT, who's we're going to talk NBA with Von Tobel in about 25 minutes. I was watching a little bit of My Guys yesterday. He was in for Humans. He was making the case that the Chargers have to get to 10 to beat you. New coach there, Herbert's second year. I know they gave away like every game on their schedule a year ago. So if that kind of corrects itself.
I know. You have to wait, though. You have to see what happens with the Broncos. What are they going to do? If it's Locke, okay. But what are they going to do? Do they get Teddy Bridgewater? Do they make some moves?
Uh-huh.
What happens?
Yep.
Is there a chance in hell that this Watson thing has worked out? Something happens and someone makes a trade for him?
All right, let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dennis Bernstein knows the NHL inside and out, a true expert on the sport. We're going to ask what he liked, maybe what he loved, and what he possibly hated yesterday about the deadline. And moving forward, that's coming up next.
DraftKings Sportsbook now. Get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Just download the app and use the promo code VSiN. Get started with the only book that matters, DraftKings. You can bet on it. DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Let's go to his palatial estate in SoCal, Dennis Bernstein. Let's get right into it. Jack Campbell, come on now. 11-1 run. He finally loses a game. He gave up three goals last night. They finally lost. They are legit. This guy makes him a force and a force to be reckoned with in the playoffs. First, what are your thoughts covering him with his days in LA? What do you think? What can you tell us about Campbell?
Everyone loves Jack Campbell. He's a great guy, Paulie. He deserves and has earned this spotlight right now. So is he this good? Is he 10 or 11 in a row? No. He's not going to go undefeated in the postseason. He's an upgrade. And look, they don't know about their goaltending right now. That's why they traded for David Rittich yesterday. Right? I'm not sure Jack can carry a team in the postseason, but it's a great story, and we're all happy for him here in LA. His teammates love them. His teammates love them in Toronto. He's just a great guy to his core. So it's a great story in the NHL right now.
Could he break down playoff time if he's playing every night? Are you concerned about that?
He's operating at a level he's never operated before, Paulie. So, yeah, I think that's the concern. So that's why Rittich came in. You don't know about Freddie Anderson, which is a tough blow because he's their number one guy. But I'm not sure. I don't think anybody – I don't think Jack knows if he's ready to step up in the playoffs and play every night. You know, Michael Hutchinson's a third goalie, but if you saw him last year in the postseason in the Game 7, he's not the guy. He's the emergency guy, right, Paul?
Right,
so
yeah.
That's the issue. So, look, it's a great story. I'm not sold on Jack in the postseason. He can carry them for the last 15 or 16 games here. I do suspect they'll win the division. After that, it's basically the unknown for Jack Campbell.
I like them against the Washington, against the Islanders, somebody like that. I think they can go to the Stanley Cup.
Okay, save your money. They're not going to beat those teams.
Oh, come on.
If you would take
the Capitals or Islanders in a seven-game series over the Maple Leafs?
Yes. If they come out of the division, Paul, if you handicap the teams, they're the fourth seed. Right? Not from point standpoint. I'm just saying from a talent standpoint, they've never been here. That's why they had to trade for Nick Foligno, because they need quality and they need leadership on the ice. Right? And Nick beat them last season in the bubble in Toronto in five-game series. So they're a good team. They're not a great team. I just don't like them enough defensively. And despite Jack Campbell's performance, there's a question mark in net. They're not as good as the Islanders or the Caps. They're not as good as Vegas or Colorado. And they're certainly not as good as Tampa, Carolina, or Florida. So, yeah, I think if I had to seed these teams right now, they get the benefit of that bottom of the Northern Division, which is garbage right now.
So that's your that's your stance. I'm sorry, that's your stance. They're going to win a bad division.
They're going to win the bad division and be eliminated in the Final Four. That's what's going to happen. Well, Paul, I'll be honest with you. If Winnipeg ever wakes up and they didn't make a trade for a defenseman, which was a mistake, Winnipeg could beat them. Edmonton, if they get a great series from Connor and from Leon and get enough goaltending from Mike Smith, they could beat them. So it's not a foregone conclusion they're going to get out of the division. I suspect they will, but I think that's as far as they go. Any matchup in the Final Four, they're not going to win.
All right. They'll smoke the Islanders. They have more firepower.
They won't score a goal.
How are you going to trust Samson? You're going to trust Samsonov or something like that with the Capitals?
The Capitals? Yeah, because look at what that team did. They added Anthony Mantha. I thought that was a major overpayment yesterday. But they're deep. They're dangerous. They're good. Yeah, it comes down to the goaltending. But there's so much quality on the rest of that team that I think they get by Toronto. Because when I look at Toronto's blue line, I don't see it, Paul. Paul, these games are going to be 3-2, 2-1. So maybe if Washington's – and their Achilles heel is the goaltending. But I just don't see pound for pound Washington losing to Toronto.
What other moves did you like?
I love the Nick Foligno trade to the Leafs. I thought that was great. Leadership in the room, jam around the net. Look, if you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, you have to love your GM. He's going for it again. They bring in David Savard, a right shot defenseman, big guy, toughness around the net. You just love this team. They're going to add Kucherov as well in the postseason. He's coming back from a hip surgery. But again, Paulie, Steven Stamkos, injury bug. That's the concern right now for Tampa right now. Everything else is... This team can certainly repeat. Vasilevsky's doing his thing in net. But again, the injury bug with Steven Stamkos, you got to watch out for that. But other than that, I love that move by Tampa to get the best defenseman that was available in David Savard from Columbus.
Okay, did you like the Bruins getting Hall from the Sabres?
No, not really. He doesn't fit their style. They're a grinding team. Now, I will say this. They gave David Krejci love, so your fans in Boston should be happy about that. David Krejci has never played with a quality winger of Taylor Hall's level ever, I think, since he's been in Boston. So, yeah, it helps their depth, but I just don't see his style meshing with the Bruins. Right. So, that, to me, that's my concern. And the other side of the coin, I always say this when I talk about the Sabres. God bless the Sabres fans. Because when they signed Taylor Hall for $8 million for 1 year, they were looking at two scenarios. They make the playoffs with him, or he blows up with big numbers, and they trade him for a first-round pick and two other assets. He scores two goals. They get a second-round pick and Anders Bjork for the guy. And they have to throw Curtis Lazar in the deal to get that. It's just a disaster in Buffalo. I think I'm sure Kevin Adams has to bring in a player personnel guy in the offseason, because if he's going to trade Jack Eichel, if he's going to trade Erasmus Dahlin, he has to have an experienced personnel person in there to tell him what the level of return should be, because that's a very disappointing return for the Sabres for Taylor Hall based on what they signed him for over the summer.
Give me a phony team. Give me a team that's going to be out in the playoffs early, or a team that's going to could miss the playoffs that you think could be a disappointment.
I think the team, they're not a phony team, Paulie, but I don't see how Florida overcomes Aaron Ekblad's injury. They're in a very tough division with Florida and Carolina. And I know that Carolina lost those two against Detroit, but I'm writing that off as just case of the blahs. I think Florida at this point in time, I can't see them. See, here's the thing, Paulie. In these playoffs, and this is true for any division, you want to finish first this year.
Yes.
The stuff that you don't want, because you're going to have to clear two hurdles. For example, in the Central. If you're Florida and you come third, you have to beat Carolina and Tampa to get out of the division. That's a big ass. Same thing in the East. If Pittsburgh comes third, they have to beat the Islanders and Washington. Sure, some big upset. So I think the phony team would be Boston. I think they're going to get in as the four. They're not dangerous. Their left side is still challenging. I don't think Taylor Hall is going to add much to them. Took a rest. They're talking about his being his last season here, maybe not playing his last year. So I think that the phony team, or the team that I'm not considering a contender if they get in, would be Boston. I just think there's not enough firepower and there's weakness on the blue line because of the departures of Torrey Krug and Zdeno Chara.
Who wins a series between the Golden Knights and the Avalanche, and how many games?
Avalanche in six, maybe five. They didn't go out. Look, they were talking about bringing in Ryan Getzlaff. I'm sorry. I like Chandler Stephenson. He's a good guy. He's got, 21 to 22 points in 40 games. What happened last year, Mitch? Vegas lost because they didn't have enough scoring. And what did they do? They went out and got the best defenseman in the free agent market. It didn't make any sense. Like, there's not enough strength down the middle to beat Colorado. Colorado's 1-2 punch is Naz Kadri and Nathan MacKinnon down the middle. And Bill Carlson is a 2C. Chandler Stephenson is a 3C on championship team. They needed to add a center. They didn't do it. A pound for pound, I don't see how they stack up against them. It would be a tough series. The only way Vegas wins that, Mitch, is if they grind and they beat and they pound on the Avalanche. And there's some injury issues with Avalanche. They're not the biggest team in the world, but I think it's a clear cut right now. I think Avalanche are a cut above the Vegas Golden Knights right now.
How about St. Louis? They're 3-0 since Bennington said, yeah, here we come, and they beat Minnesota 9-1 in one of the games.
When they won, Paulie, there's one word I associated with their championship team: resilient. So this team's never going to quit. They're resilient. If they get all those players back from injury, and they've had so many injuries on this team, right? Maybe, just a maybe. I don't see them winning. I don't see them being Colorado. I can't see it. Even with Bennington playing, standing on his head, the key here is Tarasenko has had three surgeries. He's not the same dangerous goal scorer he once was. There's just not enough firepower, even with everybody come back. So it's a nice run, a nice story. I'm not even sure they get in. Now, it could be
Right.
It could be Arizona, San Jose. But all those teams are just mediocre at this point in time, Paulie. So I see if St. Louis does get in, I think they're a five-game series and out against a team like Colorado.
Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dennis Bernstein, our guest, fourthperiod.com. Follow him on Twitter. Can the league pull this off here? Can they get all these Vancouver games in? And what do you think of starting the playoffs early in the United States while they finish up the regular season in Canada?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it, Paul. I think they will get the games in. They're going to get the guys back on the ice. I think they're going to start practicing or they're skating now. The schedule come back on Friday. They'll get them in place. The big picture, Paul, they have to start next season on time. So whatever they do, whatever machinations they do to start the playoffs, they need 82 games. They need an October start. Because guess what? The ESPN contract starts next season. And ESPN don't want to wait around for November or December for the season to start. So they'll do what they have to. If I was me, and I'm going to be a little bit political here, if I was the league, I would go out and buy 1,000 Johnson & Johnson vaccines, vaccinate all the staff and the Canadian players, and not worry about the postseason. Yeah, it might be delayed for the with respect to the Canadian division starting. But and the worst-case scenario, Paul, is it's still pervasive with respect to the virus in Canada. You'd move the Canadian team somewhere in the States and you play the Stanley Cup playoffs. So they'll get the playoffs intact. But again, the big key for the league is starting on time next season.
That's not going to be, I mean, for the NHL and the NBA, that's going to be mission impossible almost. Oh, we're up against the clock. Yeah. But I mean, what are we talking about for an offseason now? August, September? Hey, guys, go back and lace them up again?
Wow.
Yeah, well, the players want their money, and you got to earn you got to earn hockey-related revenue to get back off a flat cap. So they'll start maybe a couple of weeks, Mitch, but they're not going to start in December or January. No way. They'll take 2 months off and start the season. They have to do it. They need 82 games.
All right, pal. You're the best. Love talking to you.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate the time on VSiN.
All right, buddy.
You got it. There you go.
Jack Campbell.
Yep,
right into Jack Campbell. There you go.
He is not high in the Maple Leafs.
No, I disagree. I would love them against the Capitals or Islanders or somebody like that.
Scoffed at you.
Colorado or Vegas, it'll be tough. They got a shot against Vegas. But the health of Colorado is another. That's the only thing that could derail Colorado. I'm with them on that.
All right, I'll tell you about this coming up next. A respected NBA person recently said, we're going to have a pretty clear MVP winner. That's next.